Coming up right now, we've got Susan McGuire of the Chapel Hill Public Library. I don't know why I said coming up in just a minute. Now, we've got Susan McGuire of the Chapel Hill Public Library here in the studio. And happy Christmas Eve to you. And that is a very festive Christmas sweater you're wearing.
Yes, polka dots and sequins.
And snowflakes. And what else is that?
Bedazzles. Pearls.
Every great Christmas sweater has to have bedazzles.
Mm-hmm.
Bedazzles, pearls, sequins, snowflakes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
See, do you want to hear the story of this?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
My little brother came to visit me when I lived in West Virginia, and he's like, let's get matching Christmas sweaters. So we bought these, and he and I wore them on Christmas Day in my house. But when we were driving from West Virginia, we were like, haha, we've got these funny, ironic Kmart Christmas sweaters in the trunk. And the woman who took our tolls in Maryland was wearing the exact same sweater. And
oh, that's
it was
awesome.
Beautiful.
Were they Kmart sweaters?
Yes.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. I was gonna say, where does one procure a Christmas sweater like
well,
that?
Now
but there's plenty of places.
Yeah.
But.
Now, like, the ugly Christmas sweater is a thing. This is before they were cool, man.
Yeah. This is back when they were just Christmas sweaters. And people were presenting them as, like, this is a nice thing that you can wear to a party. And now it's a nice thing that you can wear to a party. But
Or work.
In a different...
Perfect for radio.
In a different guise. It is perfect for radio. I love the fact that I could just show up wearing whatever I want and just go on the air.
Yeah.
I try to be a little presentable, but honestly, if I'm not, it's fine. It's great.
Yeah. I'm trying to, like, think of a really fast joke about something funny that you could be wearing and nothing's happening.
I'm actually kind of sad right now because I don't have an ugly Christmas sweater. I had one, but it wasn't so much an ugly Christmas sweater as it was, like, it was a Christmas sweater. I got it from JR's, which is wonderful. It had this, like, sequin giant snowflake on it, but it was also, like, three sizes too small for me, which made it all the better. But after a while, I was like, the sequins are literally making it hard for me to put this thing on.
Right.
So.
Well, you can borrow this one.
Okay.
I'm done for the season.
I'm going to have to get my own. So, okay, we're speaking with Susan McGuire of the Chapel Hill Public Library. And before we get to book recommendations, I don't know if that's your favorite Christmas tradition, but what is your favorite Christmas tradition?
Well, I have many siblings. And, gosh, well, one thing that doesn't – well, it, okay – I'll just tell you. So my mom bakes these, like, amazing, elaborate Christmas cookies.
Uh-huh.
She hasn't expressed that her sadness that my sister and I have not taken up the mantle, but I'm sure it's there.
Yes.
But when we were younger and when my grandmother was alive, she used to make us an elaborate gingerbread house that would have, you know, like, chocolate-covered graham crackers to the roof. And, like, it was, like, multiple stories. And, you know, there were little dudes outside and stuff. And it would have presents inside that we would open on the Feast of the Epiphany.
Oh, nice.
And it was just, like, this really,
I like it. So you did the 12 days of Christmas then.
Well, we just did that one.
That one. But, yeah, like, everyone thinks of the 12 days of Christmas as being the 12 days before Christmas.
Right.
But it's after.
Yeah.
It goes up to – it's Epiphany that it goes up to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the wise men show up.
I blanked for a second. Right, right. Okay. That's awesome.
And they're like, give me those presents. It was usually, like, socks and stuff. But,
well,
you know,
right,
it was really
still,
fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right.
What's yours?
Mine? We had – to be honest, we used to we used to get together, like, the whole big extended family used to get together on Christmas Day. Christmas Eve was spent with my mom's side of the family. Christmas Day was this whirlwind. All of my family lived in Lansing, Michigan. So we would get up. I was an only child. We would get up and, spoiled on Christmas.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. Get up on Christmas, and it was me and my parents just celebrating Christmas together. And then the rest of the day was a whirlwind of going to my dad's side of the family and having dinner with them, coming over to my mom's side of the family and having the extended family dinner with them. And sort of bouncing back and forth. But honestly, my favorite Christmas tradition is a little nerdy. When we would get up in the morning, I'd be able to open my stocking before my parents got out of bed. That was what I was allowed to do. And then my parents got out of bed and we did the rest of the opening, my mom would always put on a CD. And invariably, it eventually just became a tradition that it was the Kenny G Christmas CD. So now whenever I think of Christmas, the soundtrack that plays in my head is Kenny G's Winter Wonderland.
Real smooth.
So it's very smooth. It's very nice.
Wow.
Yeah. There were a couple other Christmas traditions in my family, but that was my aunt would always give me paper and batteries for Christmas.
Oh, well.
That became a tradition. No, I think my parents got me batteries. My aunt always got me paper. But
just
one
like
way or
loose
the other.
Paper
I would, yeah, because I
product.
Used a lot of it.
All right, so it's thoughtful.
Yeah, no, it became a tradition. But I think Kenny G's Winter Wonderland is the song that I associate with Christmas more than anything else.
Yeah.
Then my dad would make orange biscuits from the Pillsbury tube.
Yes, I like
morning.
That one.
Yeah.
I also
Christmas
fell,
in Michigan.
Yeah. I fell down a Wikipedia hole earlier today.
Oh no!
Talking about or looking up Krampus.
Yes.
So,
have you seen the movie yet?
No, I'm too chicken to watch horror movies.
Ah, gotcha. This is a horror comedy.
Yes, I know.
It's not that
but it's
scary
still,
or good.
I'm delicate.
My roommate went to see Krampus a couple weeks ago and he came back raving about it, but I'm pretty sure he was being sarcastic from the look on his face and the tone of his voice.
Okay. It hasn't gotten great.
No,
reviews.
No, it has not. He spent the last 2 weeks going, oh, you should definitely go see Krampus.
Yeah.
Krampus, Aaron. Krampus.
Well.
Yeah.
Krampus is coming back, though.
Yeah, he is. He's arriving in the U.S. He hasn't really been big here yet.
There was a novel a couple of years ago that was set in Boone County, West Virginia,
uh-oh,
where Krampus comes to this, like, backwater county and wreaks havoc, I guess.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. I was too scared to read it. Anyway.
Okay.
Villains.
Villains, yes. We're talking about Christmas, or we're talking about Christmas traditions, and getting into Krampus gets us into great books. We're not doing holiday books specifically, just books with great villains, right? Like Krampus or some other great villain,
Lex
right?
Luthor,
so Lex Luthor or Nurse Ratched, I guess. Hannibal Lecter.
Oh yeah.
The Wizard of the Wicked Witch of the West. The Wizard of Oz, if you're reading Wicked, I guess. Yeah. So.
Oh yeah, I like that when the book.
Twist,
the retelling
the original,
of the book,
yeah.
Different person becomes the villain.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, cool. So we're talking about villains for this Christmas season, as traditionally we are wont to do. So who is your favorite, or what recommendation do you have, Susan, with a book with a great villain?
For a villain? Well, as mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. I am delicate.
Yes.
So I mean, even like suspense is hard for me because I just panic. But the first one that I came up with was a classic, Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier.
I was thinking about Rebecca.
Yeah.
Honestly, the only reason why I don't have it on my list is because I've only seen the movie and not read the book. But that was the first thing that I thought of.
You know, I've done the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
I've read the book, but I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah.
So it's creepy and atmospheric. And you feel like you're on those cliffs. And then, right, Mrs. Danvers. What in the...
Yeah. She's great.
That's my book talk for
she's
that.
A delight.
Is Mrs. Danvers.
Mrs. Danvers.
I mean,
oh, good
how
Lord.
Terrible. Poor poor second Mrs. What's her name?
Oh.
I just looked this up.
Now I can't even remember.
Don't
De Winter.
Yep.
Yep. Second Mrs. De Winter. There we go. Okay. Yeah, that's a good book, good movie. Okay, so my first immediate recommendation, I was thinking about books that I have read in the last year, not necessarily written in the last year, but I've gone through a lot of books, and what is the best villain that I've encountered? And I'm going to say that the best villain I've encountered so far is The Past in 11/22/63 by Stephen King. Not even really a villainous character in the book. I guess there are a couple villains in the book, a couple really nasty villains in the book, but the antagonist all the way through the book is the past, with this guy going back in time and trying to prevent the Kennedy assassination, but the past doesn't want him to, so
like
it keeps massing things against him.
Is there like an embodiment of the past, or it's just like the concept?
The closest thing to being an embodiment of the past turns out to be the high school football quarterback, but that's kind of going around in circles. You have to read the book to understand.
Okay.
It's a great book.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
And it might not be too scary for me.
It actually isn't. For Stephen King, it's atmospherically intense, I guess. And there are moments when I was like, whoa, but not really like scary.
I can skim. This isn't therapy for me. Well, one of the books that I really love that I read this year, and I think it just came out, is actually a sequel to the book that I read. Is called Hidden Bodies by Carolyn Kepnes, which is a sequel to You, also by Carolyn Kepnes.
Yes.
And the hero is this guy, Joe, who he narrates the story, and he's kind of a cross between Patrick Bateman from American Psycho.
Right.
But he doesn't, like, has bad feelings toward people, but he doesn't, like, hate women.
Yes.
And then he's also, there's something in his tone that's a little like Holden Caulfield.
Okay.
It's just, he, you know, it's a first-person narration, and it's such a great voice and character, and he's sort of this luckless bookseller who meets a woman who's an aspiring writer, and they start working at this bookstore together. I don't think you have to read the books in order, because I read the second one first, and so I mean, he's a serial killer, but he's, like, super nice about it.
All right. Okay. Like it.
So it has, like, these murderous rages, but there's also something, like, really
endearing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to go with, for my second choice, and I'm pretty sure I've recommended this at some point before. I was thinking about graphic novels, and I happened to be in Barnes & Noble earlier today, and buying Christmas gifts, and I ran into like an extended edition of Watchmen by Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't.
Of which Susan is not a fan.
I don't know why. It was too serious, like too self-serious. Anyway.
Oh, but it's a great villain, though. I love the villain with, again, without any.
No.
Maybe. I mean, who is the villain of? Who is the villain of Watchmen? You've got the villain of Watchmen, I think, is people who have lost a sense of caring about other human beings. And the villain in Watchmen is motivated by the sense of, like, extreme caring about human beings to the point where he's willing to kill to save others. And where is the good? Where is the good? Where is the bad? It's a tough question.
Yeah. No, I liked the questions that it raised.
It's just a little too serious.
The execution was.
I love Watchmen.
Problem.
I have read it a whole bunch of times, so now every time I pick it up and read it, I notice the flaws a little bit more. So I like it less and less now that I've read it 15 or 16 times.
Right. No.
But
okay.
I read it 12 times before I started noticing the flaws. So.
And listen, you know, I'm not here to judge your reading taste. I just
really because
no, I'm not judging you. I'm just firmly stating that the woman in the pom-pom sequin sweater,
yes,
is questioning your taste.
Okay.
That's all.
That's fine. That's
don't
fine.
Be nervous.
I can live with that today.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Those were all the recommendations I had. So
okay,
what's left?
Let me do one more.
All right.
Engleby by Sebastian Fox, and this is a couple years old. And Sebastian Fox, I think, is a really interesting writer because he writes sort of all over the place. He's British, and he's written a James Bond book and a P.G. Woodhouse book and historical fiction, and then he's also done this book, Engleby, which is, again, narrated by, like, it's sort of the definition of an unreliable narrator.
Right.
This guy, Engleby, it talks about him going through college in the 70s and then up through the early 2000s. And you see kind of the roadblocks that life has placed in his path.
Mm-hmm.
But then the more you read the book, the less innocent he seems. So it's just a really interesting character study, and I also remember it being a page-turner as well. So
the best villains are the ones where you're not really sure the villain is.
Yeah.
We just throw Gone Girl in there.
We're gonna have to. Yeah, we talk about it every time.
We talk about it every time, but yeah. All right. Awesome. So Engelby, who's it by again?
Sebastian Faulks. F-A-U-L-K-S.
F-A-U-L-K-S. All right. Awesome. So before we let you go, Susan, holiday hours for the Chapel Hill Public Library, are you closed on certain days?
Yes. We're closed 24th, 25th, and 26th. So we'll reopen on Sunday, the 27th at noon.
Awesome.
And then we're open regular hours New Year's Eve, but closed on New Year's Day.
And then back open
and
on
back
the 2nd.
Back on the 2nd.
All right. Sounds good.
And ready to serve.
Ready for 2016.
Yeah.
What is your, we're going to probably, I don't know if we're going to meet again before next year. So what is your 2016 resolution? Do you have one yet? I don't have mine yet, so.
Well, every year I make this resolution to not procrastinate as much.
Okay. And then I keep putting it off until next year.
So I'm still working on that one. And I feel inspired by what you did this year, you know, reading like the pile of books that you've had in your house forever. So
maybe that's the thing.
I'm having trouble committing to it, though.
Okay.
So I have a week to think it over.
All right.
But I like that idea.
Okay. Yeah. It's good. I got rid of so much stuff. So
yeah.
It's so liberating once you're done. And enjoyed a lot of it, too. I mean, it was books that I wanted that I had purchased or had given to me because I wanted them for some reason.
So they appealed to you.
They were good books, but now my shelves are open. I don't have piles of books sitting on the floor. I can fill them again. It's great. Susan McGuire, thank you so much.
Thank you.